This traffic story takes place on a bus, the number 7. About 11,000 people board the 7 at some point along its route, through the Rainier Valley and all the way up north to the U District, where at night it turns into the 49.
It's very enjoyable to get to do North Seattle and South Seattle in the same vehicle. And you see this sort of shift and turnover in demographics happening on the bus. And people are forced to get along with each other. And that generally is the case. They do get along.
This is Nathan Voss's route. Nathan is not a passenger. He's the bus driver. He signed up for this job when he was 21, which is the youngest you can be to drive a bus full of commuters.
I have this early memory as a child of standing next to the front wheel of one of these big vehicles and noticing that it was as tall as I was and just sort of being wowed in the way that kids are by the size. And I have a lot of memories of running on the bus with a camera and spending the day exploring and actualizing both the desire for photography and the desire to learn about people in the world and see what other lives are like up close.
His blog, A View from Nathan's Bus, chronicles the characters he meets while he's at the wheel. When Nathan isn't driving a 60-foot-long, articulated people mover, he's an artist. He makes films and takes photographs that get hung on the walls of galleries. And that's not all that sets Nathan apart. On the road, he makes a point to personally call out all of the stops.
Here we are turning onto Campus Parkway. This will be Campus Parkway in Brooklyn, University Way. When I started driving, there was no automatic announcement system, and we were all trained to announce the stops, and we all did that as a matter of course. Transfer to buses to U Village right up here, or maybe Lake City. Have a good evening. Take care. Now, with the robot voice, there's just a few of us who still call out our own zones.
Next, we have 15th and 43rd.
I imagine we all do it for the reason I do, which is because it's good customer service. It's personable, it establishes a sense of community, it lets them know that, okay, there's somebody in charge here who's friendly, who cares. When you announce the zones, it gives the appearance of caring about the people. And it may not even be that people need to know where 3rd and Pike or Campus Parkway or whatever it is. The most important information that I'm doing in these announcements might just be the tone of voice and letting them know there's someone they can talk to if they need help.
Thank you.
Thank you. Take care, guys. Good night.
Have a good night.
You also. Thank you. There's a few days out of the year that are pretty challenging, but gosh, 99 times out of 100, if I'm nice to the folks, they mirror that. And it's one of the most satisfying things about this job. I didn't know that was true so often.
This dude's the best.
You know him?
Yeah.
What's your name?
Trevor.
Trevor what?
O'Loughlin. We've been on this bus, we went one time, like I think the entire 49 route, starting back when it was a 7. We did the whole time. That was a good time, man. That was a weird bus ride. He's understanding and empathetic and great guy.
I'm told that on my bus, the atmosphere feels more positive and enthusiastic, and that, from their anecdotal perspective, leads to more people being friendly and helpful.
I've seen in the past his bus riders just kick people off, but he's like just giving people like second chances and whatnot. I think it's a real, I don't know, he just seems real passionate about, you know, how being nice to people, and I like it.
The architect John Young said that the best job for an artist is a bus driver. And we don't know his reasoning for saying that. I imagine it has to do with, in part, it's one of these jobs where there's no take-home work. You know, as soon as you clock out, you're done. There's no work that piles up on Monday morning. But perhaps more importantly, you're able to get so much inspiration. In art, we're trying to express something about the human experience. Out here on transit, you're experiencing the act of what it is to be alive in so many different ways.
So tell me about some of the ways that it influences or inspires your art. Are there specific things that you've taken from your day job and worked them into your art?
It's a pretty different headspace where your daily interactions are not between yourself and perhaps 15 or 20 other people, your friends and coworkers, but a few thousand. And to be on friendly terms with most of those folks has the effect of hugely expanding the type of life experience you're intimately aware of. And that's the big impact it has on me. It forces me to be a more considerate, patient person. And that informs my art because it makes me more thoughtful and more willing to realize that there might be something more to this guy on the street than first meets the eye.
What's an example of a time when you've met somebody and you've just discovered that there's more there than meets the eye?
So one night we had these two guys on the bus. It's late at night. We're deep in the bowels of Rainier Valley. We're way out there. And I'm listening to these two guys in the back, or in the front. They've come up from the back and they're continuing their conversation. And one of them has a disfigured face and is carrying a duffel bag, obviously homeless. The other gentleman has this enormous sports jersey that three of me could fit inside, and the big basketball shoes and the fro and so on. And they're talking about Shakespeare. And they're talking about how Macbeth is particularly fascinating because it has this X trajectory where Macbeth and Lady Macbeth sort of trade places as the play goes on, where one of them is power hungry, the other is resistant to that. And they're talking about the fascination of that. And then the guy with the enormous sports jersey says that Coriolanus is an even better depiction of power struggles and shifts, even though it's not as well known of a play. And these are guys that we might otherwise characterize because of their race or clothing choices or appearance or status in society as gangsters or hoodlums or criminals. And they're talking about books that are on my bookshelf, and I love stuff like that. There's a time where another brief moment where this another homeless gentleman was on my bus, and we were talking about literature and Einstein's theory of relativity. And a few days after that, a passenger who was just a commuter, not a homeless person, came up and said, "You know, I really want to express my gratitude for being on the other bus that night where you and some homeless guy who was missing an eye were talking about Emily Dickinson for an hour." And that just expanded my understanding of homeless people pretty significantly. Yeah.
Wow. So what was that like to hear that also from a writer?
So great. I feel like that's part of the work that we need to do of expanding people's understanding of the possibilities of others.
Well, Nathan Vass drives the King County Metro Line 7/49. You can find links to his blog at kmkxsoundeffect.org. Thank you so much, Nathan. Thanks for coming.
Such a pleasure to be here. Thank you, guys.
Okay, James, have a good night.
After y'all.
Okay. Bye, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye now.
So much. All right.
Cool. Oh, it's okay. I'll see you tomorrow.
Yes.
Careful
Thank
now.
You.
Thanks, you guys.
Thank you.
You too. Have fun.